As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
And it's interesting because with the governor's race coming up this year, the issue of illegal immigration is a big one, obviously. And Phil Murphy wants to run for president. So he has told the state police, not only to not cooperate with the feds, but if they do anything to even help them, they would get in trouble. So I'll give you more details on that. There's a memorandum that went out, and we'll talk about the implications that has not only on the governor's race, but also on common sense law enforcement in the state of New Jersey as his royal rugness prepares to make his national debut in 2028. And Caroline Leavitt wrapped up a White House press briefing a short time ago. It was actually a shorter one, reassuring everybody that the markets are good, the economy is going to be strong, and there's 15 deals in the works right now with various countries, 15 deals that they're very close to finalizing. That was kind of the big takeaway from the White House press briefing. 15 of them that they think they could be finalized in the next couple of weeks. That'd be huge. That would be great. And if that happens, then I think everybody is going to feel a true sense of calm, because there's a lot of people out there that are warning of some dire implications if this goes on for a long period of time. The gold is higher than the dollar. I was just watching Steve Forbes on Fox News earlier today, who thinks that that's a warning sign for the dollar as the world's currency reserve. And then there's the fact that Jamie Dimon came out and said that we are looking like we could be hitting a recession. He made some comments today as well, which I'll share with you as the show goes on. But I think the key is that everybody is focused, laser focused on China and the intellectual property theft of China, the intellectual property theft where they will take the products that are sent over there to be built and they'll steal them and they'll just reproduce them and sell them at a cheaper rate. And they're ripping off American companies doing it, and they're ripping off companies around the world. It's not just American companies. They're doing this around the world. I mean, there's for every product you want to buy on Amazon, there's a Chinese knockoff of that product. I was just doing a search today just because I was curious. And sure enough, if you put in something, you will find a knockoff version of that product with some name that you've never heard of before. And you try to dig in a little bit on the company, and all you realize is that it's a Chinese company. So it's the same product that was made in America by an American company or made in Europe or something. And they've just taken it and they've just slapped their name on it. And it's probably literally almost the exact same thing. I mean, not almost. I mean, it's probably the exact same thing. Whatever factory that is making the widget A, that is the actual widget. And then they're just taking that and then just copying the design and then slapping their name on it and selling it. And it happens all the time with lots of different products. I told you that buying American is very important to me. So there are these pans that are made in Washington State called Lloyd pans. In fact, I'm making homemade pizza tonight. And I'm going to make a pan pizza in Lloyd pans. they're made in America. I like to buy pens. If I can buy something in America, I will do it. Obviously, there's certain things I can't because the nature of the global economy is such that some things we just don't build in this country anymore. But if I can, I will, even if I have to spend a little bit more doing so. These pans are great, though. They're great value, actually. But there are knockoff pans of the exact same dimensions, size, probably material, too, on Amazon for a couple bucks cheaper. And I wonder how many people just click on that and think, well, I'm saving a couple bucks, so I'll just do that. And then they think they're getting a deal, but actually they're not getting a good deal because what they wind up doing is they're actually hurting their own they're hurting their own country in the process, because instead of helping a local small business by buying American, you're buying the cheaply made or maybe exactly same made Chinese knockoff. Now, it's one thing, you know, back in the day, when my dad was a cop, he used to talk about going and buying things in Chinatown, you know, for the knockoffs that they have, purses and things like that. But now we're talking about the entire country of China making knockoffs and selling them on sites like Amazon. The problem becomes these pans are made in the United States of America, but they're sold on Amazon. So you can either buy direct from them, or if you go on Amazon, you're going to see a competitor that's made. If you buy a pan that's made in China from an American company that, say, designs them in the U.S. but makes them in China, there's surely going to be a knockoff that is exactly the same, because it's literally the same design. In this case, with the Lloyd pans, they're literally made in the U.S. of A., which is good. And you'll find this with all kinds of different products. You know, microphones. Like, I wanted to buy a travel microphone recently when I'm on the road. Like, Monday, I'll be in New York, Fox News, America's Newsroom, shameless plug. And I was thinking about it, but you look online, and then there's knockoff microphone brands that are just so much like the microphone brands that we use either in the studio or in my home studio or that, you know, the pros use. There's a variety of different brands out there, but Shure is one of them. There's a knockoff to that that's on Amazon.com. Rode. This is a Rode Procaster microphone that I'm using. There's a knockoff to that. It looks very similar to it. Probably is the exact same design. That problem has to be dealt with. And I don't know the answer to it. I really don't know the answer to it. China also has, as Kevin O'Leary was explaining, a major problem with their real estate market, and they may have to devalue their own currency, which is a game that China plays. That President Trump has been talking about China devaluing their currency for a very, very long time. That's been a conversation that he's had over the years regarding that. And I'm telling you that they will continue to play games as long as they possibly can. They've been a member of the World Trade Organization, and they have never followed the rules. Another point that Kevin O'Leary was making today on Fox News. They don't play by the rules. But at the same time, we don't want an economic war with China. We don't. And we also, the problem is, as I see it, I'm worried about this fact, is that China, in many cases, it's like you got a trapped animal and they may have to lash out at some point. So what we want to do is come up with a way that we can have China be part of the adults in the room and actually stick to their word if they're going to be a part of the World Trade Organization and most favored nation status. And then they have to play by the rules. And I don't know if that's possible, though. I really don't know. I don't know if that's possible. Because Xi Jinping wants to be a dictator for life. The way that you get him to the table is you make it so that China can't compete in the United States or with our European partners, in which case then the Chinese economy will suffer because they are a country that largely exports. And then in that sense, he's going to become very unpopular. He won't be able to stay in office. So that's how you deal with the Xi Jinping problem. You deal with it in a way that you slap these tariffs on, you hope Europe does the same thing, and then China has to come to the table and has to be good. And if they don't, well, then their economy is going to get hurt very, very badly because they make a lot of things for a lot of countries around the world. And that's the hope. Does China care? I mean, do they care? Will they use this as their leverage to just invade Taiwan and see what happens and roll the dice? We'll find out a little bit later. We'll talk to our friend, Dr. Victoria Coates, about all this. As China has come forward now and admitted that they have hacked into our infrastructure, our digital infrastructure, something we talked about on the show yesterday. And more details are coming out about that now. And we realize that, as what Secretary Pete Hegseth said yesterday on Will Cain's show on Fox News, that China also installed ways to spy on people at the Panama Canal. So they built all kinds of different things with Chinese spyware in them. And as I brought up on the show, I think that all of these pieces of hardware that we're buying that are assembled in China, probably it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that they would load something up on there where they could immediately be able to infect something with a virus. It's not out of the realm of possibility. China said it themselves. They talked about this. They admitted to it in December. Why do they admit to it in December? Because they want us to know. That's why. They want us to know what they're capable of doing. And you have to realize that, you know, there's a lot of problems with our big tech industry dealing with China. You know, the other day they had that whistleblower came forward who said that Mark Zuckerberg, for all of himself wrapping himself in the flag, this Sarah Wynne Williams woman, former Facebook policy executive, said Wednesday she witnessed Mark Zuckerberg and other top brass lie to Congress and repeatedly undermine U.S. national security and betray American values in a failed effort to appease Beijing and gain access to the Chinese market. And said the public deserves to hear. And so what Senator Josh Hawley said, wrote a letter to Mark Zuckerberg saying, you got to come testify. So the public deserves to hear your responses to these serious allegations, particularly since they pertain to American national security. And he said his Senate Judiciary Subcommittee wanted Zuckerberg to testify under oath at a second hearing about Wynne Williams' allegations and said his office would work with Meta to find a suitable time and date for the appearance. But I told you for a while, though, Mark Zuckerberg wrapping himself in the American flag and pretending he's Mr. MAGA now. It's all an act. It's all a scam. Don't buy it for a second. Don't believe it for a second. But ultimately, with all of this, it comes down to one thing. It comes down to whether or not these companies want to continue to do business in the United States of America. And they do. They want access to our markets. They want access to our capital. There's no question about that. That's what's happening. But I think, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the president needs to announce some deals. He needs to announce deals. It's what the market is yearning for and hungering for. And the Dow is up right now, and let's hope it closes on a high note. That would be fantastic. But we don't know what Monday is going to bring. And the sooner that the president comes out and says, we've made a deal with France, we've made a deal with Japan, we made a deal with Germany, these are the deals, it's going to, and the better. The better for everybody, and everybody's happy. And then everybody can go back on with their lives and we can make more deals going forward. But the soon that deals are announced and it's obvious that these countries want to come to the table and make these deals, then I think you're going to see the market just calm down. That's my opinion. Who knows? Nobody could ever, if you could predict this stuff, obviously you'd be very, very wealthy and wouldn't have to work. And there are some people that are very good at that and they don't have to work because they're really good at predicting this stuff. But I'm just saying, deals would be good. Announcing those deals would be very, very good. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today. This is what Caroline Leavitt said regarding the phones ringing off the hook in the White House with countries looking to make a deal. Cut number three.
Why would any of our allies work with us to isolate China in a trade war if we're treating friend and foe alike?
You'll have to talk to our allies who are reaching out to us. The phones are ringing off of the hooks. They've made it very clear they need the United States of America. They need our markets. They need our consumer base. You saw Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the Oval Office with the president saying that he was going to bring down all of their monetary tariffs and their non-monetary tariff trade barriers as well. We've heard from South Korea. We've heard from Japan. The president has spoken to Vietnam. We have Italy coming to the White House next week. There's a reason for that, Sean, and it's because they need the United States of America and our business model and our markets to survive. And the president is using that leverage to our advantage.
Good. That's it. Use the leverage to the advantage, make some deals, announce some deals. Everybody wins. Everybody's happy. And then things are going to be good. Oh, and you know, the president's getting his physical today. So they said they're going to give us all the details of his physical and be completely transparent with everything when that happens. Great. Fantastic. I would love to know, and I think we'd all like to know how the previous president was doing. That would be also nice. But I don't know. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. You know what I mean? I wouldn't hold my breath on that one. But as far as the negotiating process goes, it's obviously complicated because you have situations where you've got supply chain issues that have to be dealt with. And you don't want any of these supply chains to be disrupted. You want to make sure that the supply chains are still there. As much as you want to bring American manufacturing back, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you don't disrupt the supply chains. Because if you do that, then it's going to be harder, longer, and it's going to take even longer for us to be able to reach the kind of deals that we want, which is also a major problem here with all of this. But let me share with you, Alina Haba came on Sean Hannity's show last night and said she's going to investigate his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable Murphy. King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal ruggedness. And what she said last night regarding New Jersey's sanctuary city status, or sanctuary state status, and why this is not okay, this can't stand, and she is going to personally investigate the governor in her capacity as the United States Attorney for New Jersey. Cut number 7.
Give you a very brief summary of what we do know. We know that the governor has on his website currently do's and don'ts for his local state of law enforcement. Those do's and don'ts instruct them not to cooperate with illegal immigrants who have administrative warrants that have been issued by the court after due process saying that they are no longer welcome here. They have gone through the court system. They are to be deported. It is instructing them to go against our federal rules, our executive orders. And I am unfortunately going to announce on your show tonight, Sean, and I want it to be a warning for everybody, that I have instructed my office today to open an investigation into Governor Murphy, to open an investigation into Attorney General Plotkin, who has also instructed the state police not to assist any of our federal, and they list our federal agencies that are under my direction, the FBI, the DEA, all these individuals that are trying to clean up our streets in New Jersey, not to cooperate. That will no longer stand. Pam Bondi has made it clear, and so has our president, that we are to take all criminal, violent criminals and criminals out of this country and to completely enforce federal law. And anybody who does get in that way, in the way of what we are doing, which is not political, it is simply against crime, will be charged in the state of New Jersey for obstruction, for concealment, and I will come after them hard. Those investigations will start immediately. The governor and the attorney general.
Let me ask.
Now, that's a big deal. And I would have messed with Alina Haba, and I wouldn't be surprised if one day she runs for governor. One of the guys running for governor now, Jack Cittarelli, his campaign somehow got an email from the New Jersey State Police. Pat Callahan, who is the superintendent of the New Jersey State Police. And Cittarelli's campaign shared it with our friends over at Save Jersey, Matt Rooney's site. And Matt Rooney wrote the following. The New Jersey State Police are directing troopers in New Jersey not to cooperate with federal law enforcement in intercepting illegal aliens, according to a bombshell new email memo released by the GOP gubernatorial campaign of Jack Cittarelli. New Jersey State Police Superintendent Pat Callahan's email warns New Jersey State Police personnel to not only refuse to assist Immigration and Customs Enforcement with their efforts to combat illegal immigration, but to also take the extraordinary and shocking step of concealing National Crime Information Center, or NCIC, hits, and also ignoring administrative warrants. Callahan's email memo cited that there are now allegedly 27,000 NCIC warrants of removal outstanding in the Garden State. And this is what he wrote. As the Attorney General's Immigrant Trust Directive outlines, we are not, all caps, not to arrest subjects for outstanding administrative warrants as referenced in the sample provided. Also, upon receiving notice of an outstanding administrative warrant, New Jersey State Police members are not permitted to contact ICE via the phone number provided. What Cittarelli's campaign said is the fact that my campaign received this email is evidence that brave and courageous law enforcement officers throughout New Jersey are angry about being handcuffed by liberal Democrat policies in Trenton, making our communities less safe. So I would imagine a brave state trooper whistleblower shared this with the campaign because he was outraged or she was outraged, as I would be outraged, as any person would be outraged. And what's worse about this is you're not just simply saying that you're not going to help. You're literally saying you're going to give these criminals safe harbor by ignoring the NCIC warrants of removal. You're going to ignore them. New Jersey was already a sanctuary state and has been since 2018, a status that the idiot governor put in place when he declared that he was going to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast. His royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable. So now Alina Haba is saying, we're not playing this game. And if I got to come after you, I'll come after you personally, Governor. Like I've said to you, under our system of federalism, the state does not have to enforce federal law, and the feds do not have to enforce state law. And that's a good thing. I don't want that to change. And we're not asking for the state of New Jersey to enforce federal law. But what they're doing here is they're purposely, literally, and deliberately working to protect the illegal criminal aliens who are wanted by ICE. So they're giving them safe harbor. Nobody's asking them to arrest these people. Nobody's asking them to go and serve the papers. Nobody's asking the New Jersey State Police to deport them. Nobody's asking the state police to turn them over to ICE directly. What they're asking them to do is to follow the steps that are put in place by ICE when they get one of these hits in the National Crime Information Center and when they have administrative warrants to remove somebody. What they're asking for is the state to cooperate. And when there's a warrant of removal and the state purposely ignores that, now you've done something that is extra special. Now you've given safe harbor to a fugitive. No different than if there was a warrant for somebody's arrest and I hid them in my house. And then when the cops came to my house, I said they weren't here. I lied. Or if I knowingly harbored somebody and there was a warrant for their arrest and I had knowledge that there was a warrant for their arrest and I gave them safe harbor in my home, I would be aiding and abetting a fugitive. Tell me how the state of New Jersey is not doing that exact same thing here by this memo by the governor and the attorney general and the state police superintendent. Remember, if there's an arrest warrant on somebody and they're in my home, I don't have to arrest them. I don't have to be the one who turns them over, but I can't stop the police from doing their job. That's literally what New Jersey's doing here. New Jersey's literally standing in the way of the state of the feds doing their job, giving safe harbor to these criminals in doing the process. So that is not a simple issue of federalism where you say one's a federal job, one's a state job. Nope. Not anymore. Not if you have them in your custody and there is a warrant for them and you have them in your custody and you let them go or you don't tell the feds. Now you've given safe harbor to a fugitive. No different than it would apply to any other person who did the same, whether it was a state or federal fugitive. Because I'm pretty sure that if there was an arrest warrant by Matt Plack and the attorney general and the state police were going to serve that, and they knocked on my door and I had that person hiding, I'd get in some serious trouble about that. It's no different in this situation. So good for Alina Haber for wanting to do something about it. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. As we continue a busy day here today, President Trump says, let's make daylight saving time permanent. Would you like daylight savings time to be permanent saving? I know there's no, somebody's going to tell me, Rich, there's no S at the end of savings. Fine, I understand that, but I'm Italian, and that's what we do. We go to Walmarts. Walmarts, there's no S at the end of Walmarts, but nevertheless, that's what we do. So yeah, daylight savings time, should it be permanent? The president has come out finally on the record and said so. What do you think about that? 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. You can also weigh in on our YouTube chat. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you bought a house in Hackensack back when Billy Joel wrote that song, you'd be doing pretty good today. But anyway, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. Do you want to see daylight saving time permanent? The president of the United States of America, Donald Trump, has come out and said it should be permanent. He wants beautiful, long, sunny days, and he wants more sunshine in the afternoon. So the question I have for you is, do you agree? So 855-839-1210, or you can weigh in on the YouTube chat if you'd like to. And you can also tweet me at Rich Zeoli and let me know. Personally, I agree. I know this is very controversial, but I agree with the president. I think, but I'm also happy to just stop changing the clocks because I heard somebody say a comment like it's one day you lose an hour of sleep. It's actually much more significant than that. There's a huge cost associated with changing the clocks and the effects on the human body. I watched this guy, Andrew Huberman, is a PhD. I watched a whole thing, like a 3-hour podcast on this. It takes the average person a couple of weeks to actually recover in terms of their circadian rhythm. It's not just a matter of losing an hour's sleep. Because, I mean, you think about it. You could wake up an hour earlier on a day. You're fine the next day. It's the changing of the clocks and what that does in your circadian rhythm. And actually takes 2 to 3 weeks to be fully back to your normal self, which is why there's a correlation in heart attacks when they change the clocks. Now, I don't know if that's the direct result or not. It's something that Dr. Maz always says, you know, yes, there's a correlation with ice cream and shark attacks. There's a correlation. The more that people buy ice cream on the boardwalks, the more sharks attack. Now, it's not causation, though. It just happens to be that most people in the summer buy ice cream on the boardwalk, and most people in the summer go swimming, and sharks are in the ocean, and you go in the cage. Cage was in the water. Our shark. Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. I rewatched Jaws the other day. Man, does it hold up. Better than ever. I think Jaws gets better with age. There are certain movies that it's not even a question of them holding up. It's a question of them getting better. I think The Shark looks better now. Now, granted, I did buy it on my buddy Rick D. Michelle's Amazon Prime account in 4K. But The Shark looked great in 4K. And I'm just saying it's completely held up after all these years. That movie came out in 1975, and it was based on the Jersey shark attacks of the 19-teens when Woodrow Wilson was president. Don't even get me started on Woodrow Wilson, but hey, the worst human being ever. Oh, God, I just even his name just. But he should have been eaten by a shark. I mean, that would have been a great end to all of it. If you just had Woodrow Wilson eaten by a great white shark, it would have been fantastic. It would have been a great way to go out. But anyway, Jaws holds up. After all these years, better than ever. The Indianapolis monologue that Robert Shaw delivers, it's better now than it was in 1975. Don't ask me how. It's gotten better. Movie's better. The shark looks better. All of it. Fantastic. One of the absolute greatest movies ever. So my point is that, yes, there is a correlation between heart attacks and changing the clocks. I don't know if it's causation or not. We don't know. But I just think it's a pain in the neck. Let's just stop doing it. Now, I would be fine because I know this divides people, this whole permanent time versus daylight saving time, which is what we are on right now. Just split the freaking difference then in a half hour. This fall back a half hour instead of an hour and then never change the clocks ever again. I lock the clock. I'd be fine with that. I could live with that. I could live with that. I could even live with them falling back and then never changing the clock, springing forward, but I would like that less. This is what I would like. I would like to see, I agree with President Trump, permanent daylight saving time. And the reason why is I have an afternoon drive show. I like it being light out when I'm done with work. I'm selfish like that. But no, look. My son goes to the bus stop at 7:30. It's light out. I think that it's important to get morning light. Morning sunshine is very important. I know there's people that don't like how the sun rises very late in the summertime or sets late in the summertime. I get that point. But I'm all about the vitamin D. And a lot of people work during the day and they don't get to go outside. So their only chance to get outside and get a few hours of sunshine might be after work. And if it's on permanent time, because let's face it, we live in a culture right now where, for the most part, everybody works in an office environment, you know, not on the farm. So you're probably working either in an office or you're working at home. And maybe you get out for a lunch break and you can walk around for a little bit, get some vitamin D, get some sunshine, but probably not. Probably your best bet is when you get home from work and maybe you can take a walk. And if the sun's still out, this is my opinion. If the sun's still out, you're going to get some vitamin D. It's not as high as in the sky, so it's not like you're going to get it at peak time. You're still better than nothing. Your eyes are still going to be exposed to the daylight sun, which when I was watching this guy, Andrew Huberman's podcast, and he's a professor of ophthalmology, he was saying that the exposure to sunshine in the evening actually does help with your melatonin release. If you get sunshine exposure early in the morning and then again late in the day, it helps with your melatonin production, which then helps you get a good night's sleep and tells your body it's time to go to bed. So there are people who think that if the sun is up later, that it's going to make it so that you go to bed later. That's not necessarily true. But also, we live in a day and age where you can buy blackout shades. I have blackout shades. I have kids. Of course, I have blackout shades. That's number one. So number one. Number two, what drives me crazy is if the show ends at 7 o'clock and it's dark out, then I hate that. So for me personally, I like it. But if America is so divided on this, the biggest division point seems to be the kids at the bus stop in the morning. But, you know, I'd say give the kids flashlights. Nowadays, everybody has headlights and they should be able to see kids. Put your kids in bright reflective jackets if necessary, because I also believe kids should be able to be out in the dark. Like, I'm a believer in that. I think that it's okay. When I was a kid, I would go out and play with my friends, because I'm the generation that drank from a hose. I survived. But we would go out and play with our friends, and we would come home for dinner. But a lot of times we would, especially on the weekends, we'd play Capture the Flag or Ghost in the Graveyard outside in the dark at night, and we would walk home from our friends' houses outside in the dark at night, and somehow we survived. So I think there's a lot of panickings out there, panicking about this notion of the kids in the darkness in the morning. It's like, eh. You know what I mean? But if you want to change the clocks at never again, fine with me. Right now, we just leave it the way it is. If you really believe we should fall back to permanent time, then I say we meet in the middle. I say we meet in the middle, and then this November, when daylight saving time ends and permanent time begins, you just roll the clocks back 1/2 hour, and then we never change the clocks ever again. Mangelmush, you're not correct about that, because it's the amount of daylight. So his point is, it doesn't matter. It's the same in all caps. He's very fired up about this. It's the same amount of daylight every April 11th as it was last year and the next, no matter what the time, no matter what time the clock says it is. Look, we when it's 5 p.m. and it's dark out and you're leaving work, versus it's 5 p.m. and it's light out when you're leaving work, is what the question is and what the conversation is. But really, I think this is a great area we can compromise as Americans and just go back 1/2 hour and then never change the clocks again. That's what I would say. If we can't agree. But I'm with the president. Just leave it the way it is now. So that means that in November, instead of falling back, clocks stay the same. That's what I would like. What do you think? Bill's in Pottstown. Bill, how are you today?
Hey, Brock, Matt, Rich. I used to be in sales. And the thing I would meet people in the evenings, and I'd say 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock better for you. And I remember my boss saying, "Boy, I wish it was dark all the time, because when it's light out, people are involved with their kids' activities, and they're doing football practice and what have you." But now that I'm retired, I don't care, and I don't have to change the timer on my outdoor lighting.
Yeah, well, that's another good point, is that every year you got to change the time on your outdoor lighting. It's a very good point. So you wouldn't have to do that anymore, right?
And I agree with Trump, just end it to this.
Yeah, just end it. You know, stop changing the clocks is the bottom line. Bill, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Because if you have the extra hour of daylight in the wintertime, you will be more active with your kids outside. I think it's just better. We live in a culture where people are usually in the office until 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. So in those months when we've fell back an hour, those winter months, you are driving home in darkness. At some points, the time that the sun goes down, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time versus 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. If you leave the office at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in January and it is pitch black out versus you leave the office at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and you've got a little bit more sunshine, I think that's a win. That's me. I think that's a win, because we all are in an office environment these days. So the only chance of sunshine you get is either first thing in the morning and then it's cold out and you don't want to be outside. So that's what I would say. But what do you think? 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. It doesn't matter about the amount of daytime. It's about the clocks that we adjust to that daytime, Mangelmush. I don't think you're catching that point. Of course, the sun is in the sky at the same time. Nobody thinks we're changing the amount of time the sun's in the sky. Does Mangelmush think that? Does Mangelmush think that we're passing a bill to tell the sun to set or rise an hour earlier? We're not directing the sun. Of course, I understand it's the same amount of daylight. Nobody's questioning that. It's amount of that daylight according to the clocks that we go by. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Your argument that it's the same amount of daylight is ridiculous. The sun is the sun. It's about adjusting it to our clocks. What do you like better? Do you like our clocks being at one time or not? That's the point. There are not far more things to worry about, and we can multitask, Gmail. We can multitask. We can do multiple things at one time. I hate that argument, too. There's bigger fish to fry, bigger things to worry about. We can worry about like five or six things at the same time. We have the capacity to do so. That's the beautiful thing about America and our brains. We have the capacity to do that, Gmail. We can focus on more than one thing. I'm capable of it, and I'm pretty sure you are as well. I know the amount of daylight stays the same. I get that point. It's about adjusting it to our clocks. Matt DeSantis, can you please jump in here and help me out here? Because I feel like I'm not making my point clear. I think Megalmush thinks the president thinks he has the ability to control the sun.
What do I know? I assume you're being trolled.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think. I don't know. I do believe that some of the listeners enjoy poking the bear occasionally. And I got to be honest, I think it's very entertaining, so I'm not going to like jump in and stop anything. So please go on. I like the idea that the president could potentially just add an hour of sunlight out of nowhere.
Fine. Because, I mean, knowing Trump, he may believe that. He may be like, I can tell the sun, stay in the sky an hour later. The most glorious sunshine.
I could see him signing an executive order to Space Force or something to figure out a way to make that possible.
I could see the president telling the sun he's got to make a great deal if the sun wants to stay, or he's going to nuke it. You know, threaten the sun, and the sun's going to want to make a great deal to give us more sunshine. That's what I think.
Yeah. Next week, after Scott Bessent is done chatting with Japan and Vietnam, he's going to talk to negotiators sent from the sun.
You know what's funny, though, about this? I think the issue for the president is that I'm just joking around. I don't need Xanax, Diana. I do need to eat, though. My blood sugar is a little low. I haven't eaten yet today. Saving my appetite for pizza. Homemade pizza. Yeah, we should tariff the sun. That's a great idea. Well, if we nuke the sun, it might actually... That apparently would make the sun stronger. Theoretically speaking, anyway. You know? So...
More energy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't that the plot of Superman 4, The Quest for Peace, or something about that?
I missed that one.
But I could see... The president is going to Palm Beach this weekend. I think that the issue is he's in D.C. D.C. is one of the cloudiest parts. The whole East Coast is cloudy. You know what I mean? Like this area of the country, we have more clouds, I think, than any other part of the country. I don't know. You go down to Florida, he goes down to Palm Beach, and it's all sunny and bright. You know what I mean? And he's an afternoon guy. He's not a morning guy. So he loves the sunshine. And he comes back to D.C. and it's all freaking cloudy. You know what I mean? All the time. That's what I think. And then he just dealt with the D.C. winter when it was all cold and gray and dark at 5 p.m. So here's what I'd like to know. Do you want to keep it the way it is, fall back an hour and then leave it there, or split the middle? Can we do a poll on YouTube, Justin? Is that possible?
Yeah.
And if you wanted to tariff the sun, what would you tariff the sun at? What percent? 145% of the sun decides it's going to give us more sunshine? When we want it. Marcus Aurelius wants to know, why can't we just get Superman to fly real fast around the Earth and turn back the world 1 hour? It's not a bad idea either. Carrie Marie says, I'd be happy either way, but I like extra sun in the a.m. because it helps to get people in a good mood to start off the day. Well, I mean, I walked Patrick to the bus stop at like 7:20 today. It was sunny out. How much earlier do you want it to be sunny? Man. Let's see. And baby, it's gold outside. Says pretty much everyone works in an office environment. Seriously, way to degrade your opinion. Ouch. Wow. Didn't mean to strike a nerve there. Let's see. Johnny Cook would like it to be standard time. So what I meant was not everybody works in the farm. Baby, it's cold outside, which is one of the reasons why they did daylight savings time in the first place. When Woodrow Wilson was president and we wanted to save energy in World War I. And then the argument was that because people are working in the fields and the kids are working in the fields, that it would be better to have sunshine earlier in the morning. But we don't have as many people working in the fields nowadays. Our culture has moved from an agrarian society to much more of an office environment. Certainly that doesn't mean everybody. It's clearly there are people who don't work in an office. But I meant as a majority of society, our culture has moved into that, where even if you're a police officer, for example, you're on the road, probably spending some time in the office. Even if you're working the beat, probably back in the office for a little bit. Know what I mean? So as a society, we've moved from an agrarian society. I think we could all probably agree on that point. So anyway, let me know what you think. We have a poll up on the YouTube chat right now. Leave it alone. Permanent standard time, permanent daylight saving time. What would you like? And remember, that's for proper definitions. We are currently in daylight saving time now. Permanent time will begin in November when daylight saving time ends. Okay? Very good. Now, the other issue of the day, of course, is what do we do about the dark Democrat money behind all these Tesla protests? So Christopher Rufo wrote an excellent piece in the New York Post about this. And he really goes through how the left hides leadership of fake grassroots Tesla attacks. See, what I do is when I read the New York Post in the morning, I tend to rip pages out of it that I want to save for later. And then I make it digital, obviously. I go and just get the actual one and then it'd be loaded up. But how the left hides the Tesla leadership. And what I liked about this was the graphics on here. You could see a Tesla where somebody wrote a Nazi sign, two Nazi symbols. And I think, I could be wrong here, but I think they turned the Nazi sign into a 47, if you look at it closely enough, which you may not be able to do on the YouTube chat. And it's organized crime activism. They also have a Tesla on fire, as these lunatics have been setting Teslas on fire. This is political terrorism, is what it is. So political terrorism occurs when you are committing violence in the name of trying to effectuate political change. It's different from normal criminal activity. For example, if you are driving down 95 and some person cuts you off and you go in road rage and then you key their car, that's different than if you key their car because they're driving a Tesla because you want to make a political statement. One, they're both crimes, but it's how they're dealt with under the law. So in the example of somebody keying a car because it was road rage and they're angry, that person is going to be charged differently and should be charged differently than if they key the car because they want to send a message to Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Tesla owners. And at that point now, it becomes an issue of domestic political terrorism is what it is. So we'll talk about that as we get back. Excellent reporting by these guys as they break it down. The dark money behind this. Some of the names, as you can imagine, you can probably figure out where a lot of this dark money comes from. I think you can probably figure it out. Listen, our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, has been a great sponsor of the show for years. And he's been my personal dentist for years. And my whole family goes to Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Have you seen a dentist yet? Speaking of the fact that it's April, it's mid-April almost. You got to see a dentist, they say, twice a year. I was also listening on this podcast about the link between your gut microbiome and your mouth health. Because the whole podcast I was listening, it was all about fluoride in the water and where they get the fluoride from and why we probably should not have fluoride in our water. It's fine to have in your toothpaste if you just spit it out, but drinking it is not a good idea. But the whole thing in this podcast was all about how your gut microbiome is affected by your mouth health, and your mouth health also affects your heart health. So bottom line is this. You got to see a dentist. And Dr. Mike's the best. For 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, he's been ranked and rated as a master of dental implants among his peers, one of the absolute best dentists around. Now, if you have a dentist close to you, you might say to yourself, Rich, I got a dentist right down the road. Why would I go see Dr. Mike? Well, the reason is because he's the best of the best. Simply no one better. And he's two locations, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge and easy to get to. So reach out to him today by going to VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com, or call him at 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, and make your appointment today. You'll love having a great smile, and you'll love having a good, strong, healthy mouth, too. It's very important, especially as we age. VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Mahmoud Khalil, the deportation effort can move forward. That news just broke a short time ago. Judge has said that it can move forward, and that's where things stand right now, some breaking news right now. Immigration judge said that this is the student at Columbia who, I guess now there might be an appeal. I'm just trying to understand. It's all coming out. Matt, see if you can get this story for us. As I'm seeing it on Fox News, it looks like breaking news here that they have decided that he is removable and that they can, in fact, kick him out of the country. So that's what seems to be what happened just now. And that process will then be deported, I guess. So it seems like that just came out a few moments ago. There you go. I'm not surprised by that. This guy never had a chance in the first place because the United States of America gets to decide who it wants to keep in this country. I mean, that's the bottom line. So the government gets to pick and choose. And if they don't like your speech, they don't like your conduct, they don't like you, yeah, they don't have to take you. I mean, that's just the nature of our immigration law. It's just the way it's always been. If you watch the show 1923, which I highly recommend you do, it's an excellent show. I mentioned this to you. This is one of the Taylor Sheridan shows. It's a spinoff of Yellowstone. You don't need to watch Yellowstone to appreciate it, though. I do suggest you watch 1883. But there's a whole scene where in season two where one of the characters has to go through Ellis Island. And, you know, the decision of whether or not, even when we were at the height of wanting immigration in this country, we still turned a lot of people away. We still decided who we wanted and who we didn't. And there were lots of different reasons why we did. I mean, for some people, we turned them away because we didn't think they could earn a living. Some people we turned away because we felt that they might be antithetical to American interests. We turned away people because they were of bad health. We thought they might be a burden on society. There were lots of reasons why we turned people away at Ellis Island. I think there's this myth in the American ethos that we took everybody because of that poem, you know, the Emma Lazarus poem. Like, everybody came. Everybody got to stay. You just had to make the trip. And that's not true. Many people will return to their home countries. That's been a longstanding United States immigration issue. We get to decide who becomes a citizen, who gets to stay in our country. And the First Amendment protections that exist for American citizens don't exist for people who are not American citizens. They just don't. It's the bottom line. It may be antithetical, in your opinion, to the First Amendment, but that is your opinion. It may be antithetical, in your opinion, to the First Amendment, but that doesn't change the fact that the government still has the right to do it. If they don't like your speech, if they don't like what you're advocating for, if they don't like your associations, yeah, they can kick you out. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.